Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horik and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys in the Netherlands. So welcome on this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. Today, I'm having a conversation with Mark, my colleague at Marketing Guys.
Hello, people there.
We're going to talk about some specifics in marketing automation on which we get a lot of questions. So marketing automation is all about delivering the right message to the right people at the right time. So first of all, you need to have identified the right people in order to get them the right message in the right time. So how do we get to select the right people within marketing automation? That's what we're going to talk about today, segmentation in marketing automation. Mark, you are very knowledgeable on this topic in marketing automation. So please take us with you in this little journey on segmentation.
Let's roll. Yes, segmentation. Segmentation is the foundation of your marketing automation. Together with content, those are the parts of making the whole marketing automation a success.
Your fundament.
Yeah, it's a foundation. Mm-hmm. I sometimes compare it with cooking. It's the segmentation is like the pots and pans. And your content and your message is like the ingredients and the whole automated program part. That's your recipe. So it's a crucial part to have. The holy grail is to get the right, as you said, Elias, the right message to the right person at the right time. But how do we do that? And one of the ways is to have a good segmentation list. Okay, so if we're going to make a good segmentation list, it's very important to make a good breakdown of your target groups. So how can we make a good start with that? Well, one of the things that I do when we are in doing our marketing automation sessions and we're talking about the segmentation, we usually talk about master lists.
So. Yeah, the master list is kind of the vocabulary that is being used by Acton.
Yes, by Acton.
That's the system the automation platform that we use ourselves besides Marketo and NetResults. But even if you're using Infusionsoft or Salesforce Pardot or Oracle Eloqua, you will always have one list of lists, which we call the master list. And that needs to be in place before starting anything within your marketing automation tool.
And why would you want to have this list of lists or the master list or whatever you want to call it? The thing is, you want to have all your information in one place, because if you got all the information in one place, then you can build relationships. You can make conditions of all kinds of different parts. If you have all your information scattered in all various other lists, you can't make these combinations. And these combinations, that's what we call segments.
So instead of falling in the pitfall of just starting campaigns, so you have installed your Acton or HubSpot or whatever system you're using, and just doing campaigns and starting putting forms on the website or making landing pages or doing email shots or whatsoever to segments that you will create on the fly, we advise you to start building that list of lists, the master list first.
Yeah, it's like a framework. Quite honestly, if you do like with based on campaigns, it's very much a part of the whole picture, and you can easily get bogged down in certain campaigns. But if you have a contact that is part of that campaign and you've asked certain questions, you only have that information. And if it's in another campaign and it's other information, you can't combine the insights, the learnings of those two different segments. Put everything in one big master list, then a whole world of insight will be revealed to you.
So what you're doing, to make this a little visual to our listeners, is you're building a tree structure of your complete list. So it's one list, and instead of making all kinds of separate lists, we're building a tree structure of a list. So every single person is on that list. They can be in multiple segments. They can be in a client segment, but they can also be in a behavioral segment whatsoever. But just to visualize this, this is a tree structure, which we usually draw out in a software tool, right? So we make it very visible to people how this list of lists, and we do a session on that. So during that session, we go through a list of things, which we're going to go through in 10 minutes now instead of 3 hours. But I hope this helps the listeners to create or get a feeling on how they could create their list themselves.
Yes, yes. I think the basics of in this podcast is just to give you an idea is that how to use segmentation. To give you some ideas, if you create this tree-like structure, you have to have, let's say, top-level categories. And to give you some ideas, the categories that we use, like from a standard perspective, is a category called customer lifecycle. Well, the customer's lifecycle, the segments are representing the contact's customer journey. So we have a sub-segment for the customer lifecycle, that's the lead funnel. That's really getting the prospect and then
so
guiding.
So SQLs, drag them through the funnel.
Top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, bottom of the funnel, all that kind of stuff. That's really to get new leads. But we're talking about a customer lifecycle. So when the customer, when the prospect has become a customer, then we can put a complete customer value nurturing process, which can start from the minute that they have signed the contract and you're in the CRM, you've acknowledged that they are a new customer. Combined with the marketing automation, you can send out messages welcoming them to be a customer. But you can also send them messages, explaining what more value you can provide them. And if you are, for instance, like a software vendor, you could use this moment also to enlighten your new customer how they can use your product or service. And if they're very happy with you, you're raving fans, so you can even send messages to improve that ambassadorship. So that's really in the customer value nurturing part. But if we go back to the lead funnel, what happens with leads that sales considers not to be totally sales qualified?
So they don't accept them. So they're not sales accepted leads.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of customers that have a sales force which get handed over leads from marketing. They investigate those leads and a percentage of those leads get not accepted by sales because of various reasons. Could be that the customer is not ready for buying yet, it could be a misfit, but especially when customers are not ready for buying yet and not worth calling out to from a sales rep, that doesn't mean that they won't be ready for buying in a couple of months. So the typical mistake sales will make here is to ignore those leads, abandon them, put them on lost or whatsoever in their CRM, and they are totally forgotten about. So all the marketing efforts that you put into that lead is basically worth nothing when you don't do anything with that. So we usually have a re-nurture funnel there.
Yeah, I compare it also with, it's a little bit like a funny comparison, but with eggs. If you like your boiled egg to be one of 1 minute and 30 seconds, and I present you a boiled egg of 1 minute and 20 seconds, you will consider it as not good. But what do you do? Do you throw the egg away? Or would you put it back in the pan and boil it for another 10 seconds? Please, and that's the whole re-nurturing part. Because very often, these kind of hot leads, but just not hot enough, get ignored because they are between the marketing and sales. But by rerouting them back to marketing, re-nurture them, we can, as marketers, we can still help them.
And this is all about sales and marketing alignment. So in practice, this means that sales and marketing have an agreement on the quality of leads that get handed over from marketing to sales. So sales gets those leads, finds out, and you have to make an agreement together with there. We prefer to have an SLA between marketing and sales. So a service level agreement in which you lay out, for example, when a lead is handed over from marketing to sales, sales will have 2 weeks to make an appointment, send out a quote or whatsoever. If that's not achieved within 2 weeks, you automatically will put those leads back into a re-nurturing funnel. So those kinds of marketing sales alignment you will have to have in place in order to do a right re-nurturing. And we've seen customers that got like literally hundreds of thousands of euros from re-nurture funnels.
Yes, I think this is also a very good subject topic for a separate podcast. We can talk about ages about this whole sales and marketing alignment.
Yeah.
But going back to this segmentation list, the customer lifecycle is a very important one. It is a segmentation created for communication, but you can also create segments for insights. And that could also be like relationships. Relationships, you can use it to communicate with, but it can also give you insight which of your contacts are in a segment that you have a relationship with. Let's talk about suppliers. Let's talk about
customers, job seekers, employees,
but also competitors. You can also create segments that you do not want to communicate with.
Right.
So that's sort of an insightful category is what we call captures. The email address is usually the petrol, the fuel for the whole marketing automation. So which of your capture activities is providing the most contacts? It gives you insight where you can put your emphasis on which one is successful and which one are less successful. Gosh, that was a tongue breaker. But you can also have categories like your mailings, what kind of downloads.
So that's basically forms, right? So downloads and captures are two of the categories that we put on a master list. Those are to make this also visual for a listener. Those are forms on
yes,
the website.
So
they could
the
be a download from a white paper or a exactly. capture from some a capture from some form, a contact form or whatsoever. A mailing segment is very interesting. So people that have received specific emails about specific topics, people that are on mailing lists for customers, people that have clicked on specific topics within mailings, etc.
Yes, often people regard the mailing list as being the master list or the marketing list.
Yeah.
But the marketing list is much more. The mailing list is a part of, and not the same.
Right. Not everyone, especially in this GDPR compliant world. Mm-hmm. We need to be sure that the only people we communicate with are the people that have given their consent of being emailed. So that's a topic on itself, because there is all kinds of reasons on which you can email or can't email someone. But we have usually made different segments within that mailing segment on people that we can send specific topics on. You have a preference center, which yep. we have in marketing automation. So people that are on a mailing list can update their preferences and say, hey, I don't want to receive your email weekly, but monthly or even quarterly, or I only want to receive emails on this and this topics, or just send me on vacancies, emails on vacancies, or don't completely subscribe me or forget about me. Those kinds of things you usually put in the preference center, and that also has to be a segment within your mailing list.
Yes, because you will only send certain messages if you know that they've opt-in for that kind of messages. Besides the opt-in and the mailing, those two are very related to each other, is another interesting category is events. You can see who has attended the event, who...
Like webinars, lunch and
learns. Webinars, lunch and learns.
Trade shows, that kind of stuff.
All that kind of stuff. But you can also create a history. So you can send messages on, hey, last year you visited our trade fair, or in the years before, is this something that you want to visit again? And you can create all kinds of automated flows. But the segmentation part gives you the context that are most suitable for that kind of messaging.
Another one that I think is particularly interesting is the next one, markets. So usually we still tend to think, especially in B2B, in specific focus markets for
verticals,
our business,
yeah,
or verticals which we focus on. We can segment people based on those markets, based on their clicking behavior. In emails, on the website. So if you have a specific segment on your website which is specific for a vertical, let's say finance or whatsoever, people that have clicked on those pages can be put into a different category or a different segment on your master list.
Yeah, and the fun thing with this whole segmentation part is what we're talking about is like high-level categories. But you can go as micro if you want. If you got like a vertical healthcare or finance, you can sub-segment that in either sub-verticals, but you could also segment them in personas.
Yep.
That's something what we often do in our customer life cycle, because if you are a decision maker, or you're the user, or let's say if you do like you offer software, a software solution, you do not only have to take in account the one that is going to use the software, but you also have the CFO or the finance who
decision
has
making unit.
Yeah, the decision making unit, and you have to have different messages for those types of people, and you can only do that if you know who those people are, and that's the segmentation part.
Yeah, so similar to markets, I would say is business units. So if you're having an organization which is put into different business units, that's usually also something you'll have on the front side of your website, right? So the bigger companies that have business units also have specific parts of their website. Well, similar to what you do with markets, you could also put your DMU there and make specific segments for specific people within that decision-making unit. Another one that I personally use, let's say on a weekly basis, is a product or services-focused segment. So if you want to send the right message to the right people at the right moment, especially the right message to those people, we usually have a product segment or services segment within our master list. So based on their clicking behavior, but also based on their engagement on specific topics, could be in social, could be in email, etc., we visualize the people that are specifically interested in those products. And that's real time. All those segments are real time.
Yeah,
so if you have like a number of people in a specific segment and you're going to send out a specific email, you want to make sure that you send something in the subject line and the first topic in that email that you know will interest them, because that will increase your open rate, increase your click rate, and increase your conversion rate. So if you're selling services like insurance services or selling software, and you know that they are interested in a specific part of that financial services or software, and you know that they have shown interest in the last 3 weeks or 3 months, you can send them an email that will engage with them based on that specific interest. So that is something we have very good experiences with. We see open rates that double or even triple the industry average, and click rates that are 10 times as high as the industry average. And that's very easy to explain, because if I send you an email on the time that you expect it, and you usually open your emails at 7 on Fridays, and I sent you a topic that I know will interest you, you will open it and probably click it, because you'll have the time to open it. The topic interests you, you will read about it, and you might even reach out to us.
Well, that's a little bit the right message to the right person at the right time.
It's spot on, yeah. So that's what marketing automation is about. So finally, we have two segments that we will add to the master list. It's the opt-in.
We just spoke about that.
Yeah, that's the GDPR compliancy. And also lead source could be interesting to make some segments.
Well, you want to know all the marketing efforts that you do. So you pour in money in Google Ads, LinkedIn Ads. You do all this sharing of
content,
content on the social media. Which of those activities are contributing to that you're going to get in contact?
So the basis for that lead source is UTM codes, right?
Yeah, UTM codes, or what kind of codes you... It's an identifier so that you can get the message that is relayed from either the ad or the link that you've shared in a status update. And the marketing automation picks out these identifiers, and we can segment based on those identifiers.
So in the end, to have a closed loop reporting, you will need to have that in place, because it will tell you how much your effort in a specific channel, could be social, blogging, email, etc., has generated how much revenue. So in short, the categories that we went through again on the list is customer lifecycle with the lead funnel, re-nurture, customer value and nurturing. So that's the first one, customer lifecycle. Then we have based on relationships, second. Thirdly, captures. The fourth, emails. Then we have downloads, events, markets, business units, products, opt-in and lead source. We will put those in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
So you'll we have a sheet on which we usually draw that, because it is a tree-like structure. And that's the segmentation that we usually use within marketing automation. And that could be any platform. Our biggest tip here is don't start just by playing around with the software and do some campaigns. Make sure you have this master list in place before you perform any action with your marketing automation system.
Well, quite honestly, if you don't do this way or build it with the... you will find in a few months' time that it's going to be a little bit crowded, and you will lose the oversight in all the on your segments. The whole segmentation, it's like a structure, it's a framework for your whole marketing. And this was just like a high level, but you can drill down to the micro segmentation level that you want. Actually, there's no limitation in your creativity. The whole goal is getting messaging and content as personalized as possible for the various target groups or personas that you've identified. And with the results, if you go very granular, if you go very specific, very detailed, is that the customer or the prospect will perceive that you, as an organization, is communicating straight, like face-to-face to them, instead of that they receive a generic message. And that also explains why you get a higher open rates and higher click rates, because you sent a message that is catered to me and not just one
on
big
the list.
Or one-size-fits-all thing. Another result, if you go very granular, is that you'll get business insights in your various target groups so that you can make a better decision regarding market growth, product development, or you could even discover a complete new niche. These are insights that you'll get via segmentation, and it is like that your customer, your different customers are talking to you. You just have to find them and have a good interpretation of what the statistics and what the numbers of contacts in those segments say.
What we're basically talking about here is what you call the marketing automation paradox.
Yeah.
Right? Because what we're doing, and you have stressed it out a couple of times, is we're communicating more personalized or more human by using technology.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing using marketing automation. That's the paradox. That's what we're doing using conversational marketing and chatbots. It's all using technology to become more personalized and become more human. That's what we love about the job. That's what we love about.
Yeah, and that's if you do it right.
Yeah.
But I can't stress this enough. If you misuse the technology, you will become that annoying spam machine, and you'll get the opposite. So the technology is not just, hey, if I use technology, then it will be good. You really have to make good use of the technology. But if you do it good, you'll be more personalized and therefore become much more human. If you do it wrong, hell, nobody wants to.
And that's why I pointed out earlier is that we will basically don't care too much about which tool you're using.
No.
It's just a tool, and a fool with a tool is still a fool.
Yeah.
So it's just marketing automation, and we can make a lot of fuss about it. Yes, it needs to be a good, reliable machine, but it's just a machine. And if you're not putting any energy or fuel or electricity in the machine, it's not going to work out. And that's more important than the machine itself, I would say. So thanks for listening. I hope this info could help you a little further. Should you have any questions about how this works in detail, shoot us an email. It's mark@marketingguys.nl or elias@marketingguys.nl. We'll be happy to help you out. We can schedule a Zoom or whatsoever.
Yeah,
we're happy to help you there.
Yeah, or reach out to us via LinkedIn. We're both very active on LinkedIn,
yeah.
So it's an easy step to get in touch with us there.
We'll put it in the show notes, our LinkedIn profiles. And thanks for listening again. We hope to hear you next time, hear from you in emails, and hope that you will be a listener next time to our podcast.
Yes, and I just want to send that as a last bit. If you know someone or yourself, because we also instead of not, we don't do all only these one-on-one conversations, but also do interviews. If you think that you've got an interesting MarTech story, or you know someone, well, please reach out to us. We're very happy to hear your story.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.